The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk.
With Nissan Subscribe and Drive. No deposit, no compromise, no fuss. Find out more at nissan.ie.
There is obviously a lot of discussion at the moment about the impact of COVID restrictions on industries, on employers and on employees. And the organisation that represents the former of those has been saying that not enough has been done for the business community in relation to those supports. Danny McCoy is the CEO of IBEC. Danny, first of all, the impact of the latest COVID restrictions is going to be what?
Well, what we're seeing this time, Anton, is unlike in the previous waves, government rightly are trying to keep most things open. So we're not going to experience full shutdowns. But what we are observing is the demand for lots of activities have gone down dramatically. So the supports that are required on this occasion is really to take account of situations where businesses are just seeing their demand dry up or fall to unsustainable levels. So slightly different. And I think the idea from government was to use the so-called CRIS system, the COVID supports, you know, as proportion of turnover and possibly extending that. But right now, we're in a little bit of the speed at which this is going. It's probably best to actually use the tried and tested method, which was the employer wage subsidy scheme. Because the revenue have been working with businesses now for the last year to get this scheme appropriate. Firms have to show what their turnover fall-off has been. They also have their names listed by the revenue, having availed of the scheme. So while there might be some amount of concern about fraud or businesses who don't deserve it, the vast majority of businesses actually need that kind of support.
But Danny, will
so,
government
so
not
right
say
now,
that...
I think EWIS is best to stick with.
When that was set up, though, that was set up at a point at which it looked like the pandemic might be interminable, as turned out to be the case, and that there was several months of time that people were furloughed, and the idea was that it kept the money flowing through the organisations and kept people on the on their employers' books. In this instance, the expectation, from what we can read at least between the lines, is that this should not be as long a duration. Therefore, is it sledgehammer to crack a nut? Does the PUP not cover it in combination with the CRSS?
Well, I think the PUP, as you know, is when workers are detached from their employer. They're effectively unemployed. And so the intervention at the moment is for those who, you know, can be very visibly seen to have lost their jobs and lost their connection to their employer as a result of this twist of restrictions, are going to get unemployment benefit at the order of around €350 as opposed to the €203. So that's very specifically taking account of what will hopefully be the short duration and something impacting around Christmas. But it does bring in a distinction between those who might be suffering their income loss while still with their employer, in contrast to going on to the pub. So this is why if we're restoring the pub, there's a corollary here that there's also the EWIS, which both of them were put in place at the same time, to run down the EWIS at the same time as the pub is coming in. For wider sections of society, looks to be misguided. That the EWIS will be in place for those directly affected businesses, as will the pub payment. But just like in the pub scenario, you will find other people will lose their jobs or businesses will lose quite a lot of their revenue, but won't be covered by what's been announced thus far.
And what about for individuals whose income isn't directly impacted by the restrictions, but is impacted by the advice? So let's say a business's turnover has reduced because people are reluctant to go out rather than they don't have the capacity to or they're legally precluded from having the them in attendance. Let's say, for instance, people who are driving taxis. It isn't that you're not allowed to drive a taxi. It's that there will be less business out there, though you'll still be employed. Is enough being done to catch those people?
That's where I think the EWIS can actually be very helpful. The answer is no. And another example heard just today would be hairdressers. If people aren't going out socially, there might be less desire to get your hair done. And so, as you said, there's kind of indirect consequences. And I think that's really what we're saying today in a letter to the Taoiseach, is that for right now, given what we hope will be a relatively temporary set of restrictions on this occasion, why not use the trusted scheme that we have here, which is eWIS, rather than trying to make one up on the hoof here by using the CRIS system, the COVID-related, which is very narrowly defined as COVID-related and doesn't capture that wider supply chain we just talked about as examples.
There is one issue with the EWSS, though, which is that because it covers such a broad catchment, there are organisations, depending on the way their cost base is structured, who may fall within the remit of the scheme, who will suddenly, by virtue of it, go from having minor losses threatened to going back into being majorly profitable at the expense of the taxpayer. Would you have any concern that though they be maybe a small percentage of the overall, that people will benefit inappropriately if the scheme comes back?
Well, I think, look, the scheme is designed to try to capture most of more egregious aspects by the publication of the names, by the thresholds that are triggered. But not every scheme is going to be perfect. So you will get some unintended consequences. You get some aspects of fraud as well. They're two different phenomena to what you described there. But I think where we are right now in the short term, in trying to react to these further restrictions, I think it's best to use a system that we have in place over the last 18 months. And also, the state can afford it because we've seen from the exchequer returns, the economic growth for this year, which will be up to about 15% growth, the economy is doing really well and businesses are very cash generative and supporting the state in terms of taxation. But there are those particular businesses and people who are more disproportionately impacted in our society by having to take the measures that were taken to reduce the demand. It affects them disproportionately, and the state should do all it can, as it has been over the last 18 months, to keep those supports in place. This is not suggesting that we keep POP or eWIS for the long term. I think the antenna of the government is right in this regard to try and remove it. But right now, just in the very short-term space, I think we would be wise to keep the eWIS system, because as this moves on over the next number of days, you'll see a lot more businesses come forward saying they have been impacted by the demand response, by the suppression of demand, by people's behavioural responses.
Are you disappointed in or angry with the fact that government has taken so long to do this? I mean, given that we would have known that the reopening back in October was not in ideal circumstances and that there was obviously a downside risk if things went badly wrong, we've known for the last week, if not more, that there was a significant risk coming down the track with Omicron and with the Delta wave. So should this already have been thought through several days, if not weeks ago, never mind looking back at the EWSS and saying the withdrawal of that should have been stopped?
Oh, well, in the usual response of we are where we are, there's no point looking back. And legislatively, it's going to be required, legislative changes here are required. But it did seem quite short-sighted to be downsizing the eWIS on the 1st of December, given what we knew in the days in advance of that. So the desire to, you know, take down the eWIS system into the early part of next year probably is going against what we're observing out in the economy in terms of the suppression of demand. The suppression of demand has been really extreme, and that's been quite beneficial on the public health side in terms of the stabilization of the problem. With Omicron, we don't know what the full impacts of that will be yet. So that's why, you know, the government has people's support and businesses' support to do what it's doing, but also there's an expectation now that they will make good on those businesses who are impacted through no fault of their own, and maybe not the most directly impacted sectors.
Well, in relation to that expectation, the letter that IBEC wrote to the Taoiseach and to key cabinet ministers, obviously that is a very public part of IBEC's lobbying, but IBEC lobbies quietly as well and has the ear of government. So what's the sense that you get about the government appetite to make the changes you are asking for?
I think the government will see in terms of the impacts are much wider in the supply chain than perhaps the most directly and obviously affected. So you see the hospitality sector, be they restaurants or pubs, that's very direct, but it's the sub-suppliers into those industries that sometimes get missed, and some of the knock-on effects we talked about earlier on in terms of transportation companies like taxis or hairdressers or other types of services that will be impacted. And, you know, one thing that caught people's notice would have been some law firms were benefiting from this. Well, if your specialty was, you know, in hospitality, then you're part of the supply chain. It wouldn't at all be surprising if you had specialists in the hospitality sector, be they in law or finance, also impacted by this. So we need to see that this is, you know, time of the year, short, sharp shock treatment, probably not the best time to try to be meddling with schemes that work, probably best politically as well as economically, to go to the tried and tested route, which has the revenue commissioners all over this. So the revenue commissioners have been working with businesses for the last 18 months to try and ensure that this scheme is appropriate. So it seems to us, given the circumstances, best keep it in place.
And Danny McCoy, before I let you go, you talked about the state of the economy and how positive it was, how unexpectedly positive it is, given what we would have expected when the pandemic started. One of the remarkable things about the pandemic has been that the economy has continued to flourish through that period. As a former economist in Oxford, Trinity, CBI and all the rest of it, put the economics hat back on. Have you any concern that this may be the straw that breaks a camel's back? Or like everything else economically in the pandemic so far, do we just shrug this off and get back to business in spring?
I think we can be fairly confident that what we're seeing is suppressed demand on this occasion, and that once we get a fair wind and open up again, we'll see a lot of that demand return. So it's about keeping people whole, keeping workers connected to their employment right now. The difference between what we'd have been predicted back at the start of the pandemic and what we've really observed subsequently is we were thought to be excess supply of everything. We thought there'd be lots of unemployment, lots of stock that couldn't be sold and so on. What we've seen is exactly the opposite. There's just been an excess demand for everything. And that excess demand right now, we're seeing it occurring in terms of price inflation, but also rationing, a huge amount of rationing in our supply chains and in the run-up to events like Christmas. We'll see a lot of pressure on those supply chains because the labour market itself is very tight.